Hello, hello. Today's topic is for those of you who find yourself numbing out with food. So if that's you, stay tuned.
Welcome to another episode of Binge Eating to Food Freedom with me, Katie Papo. If you're ready for genuine and lasting freedom from binge eating, emotional eating, or out of control food issues, you are in the right place. Subscribe, follow, and enjoy the episode.
Hello, hello. So welcome to another episode of Binge Eating to Food Freedom. I have a special guest with me today, Shahar, our mindset expert in all of our programs, who's been with us since day one. So Shahar, hello.
Hello, everyone.
Happy to have you here. We had you last week because I had this realization that it's basically been a one-woman show for this past season. And well, my voice can be nice. It's nice to have some variety also. So, yeah. And you always give some great analogies and ways to think about things that have always been helpful to our clients. So I like for you to bring your energy to our listeners as well, our community. So before we dive into this topic of numbing out with food, I just wanted to make an announcement because this is our last podcast episode of the season. I'll be beginning a new season in mid-May. So mid-May of 2023, I'll begin our next season. And for this next month and a half or so, where I'll be away from the podcast, I'll primarily be just working with our clients. So if you are someone who wants to work with us directly, we'll be opening up some new spots very soon. You can check out my website, katiepapo.com/path. We have our self-study program that you can work through. We have coaching spots that are opening soon. So there are many ways to begin your path to food freedom right now. And starting mid-May, we'll be back with more episodes. So for now, let's dive into today's topic. Okay, so numbing out with food. So this is for those of you guys, if you have this habit, and I can raise my hand because this has totally been my habit. If you find yourself numbing out with food as an attempt to relax yourself or to give yourself some kind of enjoyment, we wanted to cover this topic for you. So Shahar is going to introduce it and we'll take it from there.
Hello, 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 as Katie likes to say. my catchphrase is always, hello, everyone. So let's really dive in straight to the, like Katie said, to the topic of numbing. So, and Katie alluded to that. Why do we crave that numbing? Like, why do we do that? Why is that our go-to? And as we talked about, I think in the last part, last episode, a lot of these things, all these binging, they tend to be just habits. They're just habits we built over time. And we have this tendency to think of it as if our brain and us fighting against each other constantly. So I don't want to binge and my mind wants to binge and I'm trying to do whatever I can to stop myself from binging and then I still binge anyway. So there's this constant fight and this constant struggle. But the truth is your brain doesn't do that because it tries to hurt you. The brain does that because it tries to solve a problem, but it's just using the wrong tool. So when you are in a state that you crave a binge, why do you crave it in the first place? Okay. Your body is basically screaming at you in a language that you don't really understand because you haven't took the time to listen to your body, because it's something that we none of us do, not only as binge eaters, but as a culture in general, because we don't tend to listen to our body. We don't tend to develop that skill. We have no idea what our body is saying to us. So the body screams, says, I need relaxation. I need pleasure. I need to be satisfied. I need to be content. I need rest. And because it screams that in a language that we don't understand, the brain sees that and says, okay, I don't know exactly what you want, but I know the closest thing to what you want, which is numbing. Because I know when I numb myself, I don't hear you. Okay, I don't hear you, body. So I'm going to give you whatever I associate with that. So when the body craves that relaxation, your brain says, okay, binging. I'm going to go binge. That's that makes you quiet for a little bit. All right. So that's why the habit has been formed and has been formed over a long time, because, and the more you try to fight it, the more the brain says, oh, you get more stressed. Okay. More binging. So it's the cycle that keeps going on. It's, I need rest, binging, but binging doesn't create, it doesn't actually solve the problem. It's like putting a Band-Aid on a gushing wound. It just won't work, right? You have to actually seal and deal with the problem and the tools that needs to be dealt with. So that's why we crave that numbing. It's not something that happens to us, that is against us. It's just our brain's way to try to solve a problem that is happening in the body. So what do we do? What is our approach? We show everyone how to first listen to your body and recreate a new habit. And that new habit is the pleasure principle. Is the idea you are sitting down with your food and you crave that numbing, but instead of numbing, you give yourself a relaxation. You start shifting different things that are happening in your body. You start observing your food, you're observing the feelings. And that actually creates a physical relaxation sensation in your body that serves that need that you have. And when the brain sees that and remembers that, says, oh, that's actually solved the problem much more efficiently than the numbing, then I'm going to remember that. And the more you repeat the process, because it's a habit building, right? The old habits can be really strong. And when the brain is really tired, for example, during the night, especially when all that resistance, all that everything is down already, and all that fighting has been going on for so long, everyone's like, ugh, I don't want to build a new habit. Forget about it. Just numb. I don't want to think about anything else. That's the only tool I have in my tool shed. Right? Your brain opens that tool shed, sees just one thing. So when you have that sensation, suddenly you have a new tool. That's called the pleasure principle. And then the brain starts reaching out to that tool. And when that tool is so much more efficient, your brain is going to be much more inclined to use it, right? It's like you're doing your gardening work, and instead of using scissors to cut the grass on your lawn, then suddenly you have a lawnmower, and then suddenly it solves everything you need. All right, so Katie, how about you tell us more about the pleasure principle and how it's much more of an efficient tool than trying to numb yourself with binging.
Okay. So for those of you guys who are new listeners, let me give you a little bit of context here. So in our rewired eating framework, where we teach people how to rewire not just your thoughts and behaviors around food, but also your subconscious reactions to food, we teach you how to rewire these things in a certain framework that starts with the practice of essentially resetting yourself, stopping the train, so you can actually observe and then begin to receive your body signals. So we have this process that goes reset, receive, respond, repeat, rewire. And that's how we help people. And that's how we've been helping people for years predictably end their binge eating issues, food addiction issues. So there's more about that on my website. I won't go too much into it now, but know this. After your reset, after you've calmed yourself, after everything reset, your nervous system's calm, then there's a point where now you can receive. You can receive whatever signals your body is giving you. Now, we take our clients through this process through training exercises and exercises with food, and you practice every day. And our clients are actually, who are going through our 30-day program, are actually in this phase right now, where they're learning to listen to their bodies, and they're using a tool that I call the pleasure principle. And we named it that, where essentially what you're doing is you're following pleasure. Now, for those of us who have struggled with binge eating for a long time, and we've binged on foods that we feel like we shouldn't be having, this idea of pleasure can sound very scary, right? It sounds like the opposite. We can even argue, I should not be getting more pleasure from food because I'm already eating way too much of it. So if I have more pleasure, then it's a problem. I really need to learn how to eat for fuel instead of for pleasure. This is what I hear a lot of. And this is one of the big reasons why a lot of people stay stuck, is because you're actually, your body, your mind are both calling for pleasure. And the more you, the more you're disconnected from your body, the less pleasure you will feel, right? If I'm numb, I don't feel the bad stuff, right? I don't feel it, but I also don't feel the good stuff. So if I numb my whole leg, right, I won't feel any pain in my leg, but if someone gives me a nice leg massage, I won't be feeling that either. So essentially what we do when we numb is we take away our ability to receive pleasure. And because we're not receiving pleasure, and the body and the mind sense that, they will want pleasure. They will want enjoyment. They will want comfort. And if we don't give ourselves that, we will keep craving that. So for example, let me give you an example of a woman who I spoke with in real life. She came to a workshop of mine, and she told me that she was sitting down eating a cookie that she had. She bought a big oatmeal cookie, and she started checking her email, was reading through her emails, answering her stuff, and then she looks up, and suddenly her cookie is gone. She says, "Who ate my cookie?" And then realized that she actually ate her own cookie, but was not present at all to even enjoy it. Now, what happens, right? Let's say we're that lady. We just ate a cookie. We did not taste a thing. We did not even realize that we were eating it. Did we get pleasure from that experience? No. So what do I want now? I want another cookie because I didn't get any pleasure from the first one. So I'm not satisfied. So I want another one. And if I don't get pleasure from that one, I'm not going to feel satisfied either. So what will I do? I will keep eating and keep eating, trying to get that pleasure. But if I'm numb and I'm disconnected from my body, I will never actually feel the pleasure. I will never actually feel satisfied. And a lot of what people, the pleasure that we all feel is not real pleasure. It's numbing. And there's a difference between pleasure and numbing. Big difference. So when we actually follow pleasure and we do that from the body's perspective, right? Not just from what we think the mind will find pleasurable, because it's often very different. And our clients see that immediately. They'll often say, "Oh, wow, I thought that this was my favorite food. And now that I'm actually sitting here present, truly eating it, I actually don't like this as much as I thought." Or it'll be the opposite. And they'll say, "Wow, I didn't even think I liked this food, because I always had to have it when I was a kid and I always forced myself to eat it. But now that I'm sitting here really tasting it, I actually really like this." And this is the kind of realizations our clients start seeing when they're no longer approaching pleasure from just a pure mental perspective, but from actually a physical perspective of what feels good to the body. And that's why with the pleasure principle, the pleasure is not dangerous. It's actually necessary for you to be healthy and for you to have a healthy relationship with food. It's not an entrance toward a spiral. Instead, it is a tool that helps you understand what feels physically good. And if you feel physically good in your body, and you feel satisfied, guess what? That means that you just ate in such a way that was healthy for your body, that actually felt physically pleasurable for you. And that also means that if you're experiencing pleasure and satisfaction, what two things can exist at the same time? Cravings and satisfaction cannot exist at the same time. We can crave where we're not satisfied, or we're satisfied and we don't crave. So the more we don't let ourselves reach satisfaction, the more craving we will have. Just like the woman with the cookie. She didn't get to experience any satisfaction from eating that because she wasn't even physically present when she did. Had she really sat down and experienced the taste and experienced the texture and experienced how it felt in her stomach and how it made her feel, now she has the chance to actually experience something like pleasure or even discomfort or pain. But instead, because she wasn't present in her body, she didn't feel any of it. It was just numb. And this is what happens when we're distracted, right? For her, it was her email. For us, it could be TV. It could be talking to someone else and we're just shoveling and we're not even listening or to our own bodies because we're so busy listening to what's going on around us. So without that element of understanding pleasure in the sense of what actually feels good for you in this moment, we will never be truly satisfied. And therefore, we will always have some kind of craving. And the more we have these unpleasant feelings, right, like craving and discomfort and all of the feelings we associate with negative, the more we want to numb. So it only deepens us in that cycle. So that's why pleasure is not the problem. It's actually the solution. And what the problem is often that people confuse pleasure with numbing. Enjoyment with numbing. Oh, calm with numbing. Whereas they are actually very different things. Whereas calm, pleasure, enjoyment, those are things that you feel. Whereas numbing is the absence of feeling. Does that help to describe the pleasure principle?
100%. 100%. And I wanted to add to that how important it is and how much we tend to forget how important it is to kind of take ourselves out of the autopilot. And this is something that the pleasure principle does really well. And like Katie said, taking yourself out of that autopilot, like that example with the lady with a cookie, how much of our lives when it comes to our numbing and binging and everything and that of constant obsession about weight and a constant obsession about food, how much of our lives can get missed that way? Because how much of all these wonderful experiences you have missed? Great food that you could have enjoyed and really sat with, but instead of enjoying your food, you ate so much that you're not feeling it anymore. You're not feeling yourself. You're not feeling your mind. And then beyond that, there comes the shame and guilt afterwards. And then the fear, you never got the pleasure. You never got the relaxation. You never get content. But really through this program and through the pleasure principle, you can actually experience life and becomes much more satisfying. And I get that sometimes people are afraid to live life. Right? People are worried about experiencing life that way because, like Katie said, I'm afraid I'm going to love it so much that I'm going to let, if I allow myself to enjoy the food, I'm going to always want it. But guess what? It's because you are repressing yourself from enjoying your food, you want it more than anything.
Right.
And the truth is that when you actually allow yourself to enjoy food, enjoy yourself and actually have pleasure and have relaxation and connect to your body and experience life in a real way, it opens you up so much more. Suddenly your body is relaxed. Suddenly your brain is not as obsessive. All your energy that has been drained out of you suddenly is free to do other things.
Yeah.
And that is so important. So important. We see that so many of our clients who start so obsessed, so worried about that of allowing themselves, God forbid, you enjoy your food. And they're so afraid of letting go of that numbing. And by the end of the program, they have that release that all of a sudden that food is not the center piece of my life. I can enjoy it and really have a full-on pleasurable experience. And then it's so much easier to let it go and move on to more important things in my life. And then they start healing their relationship with healthy food. And then they're starting to heal a relationship with movement and exercise. They're healing their relationship with other partners. But But when they heal that relationship in the beginning with themselves around food, it opens up your entire life. And it's amazing how much of our life and is drained and in a way taken away. That is truly mind-boggling. But that's why now is the time to solve it. Now it's the time to start building the habit of getting yourself out of autopilot, getting yourself into mindfulness and actually enjoy life in the way that it was designed to be enjoyed. Okay. Right? You have all the systems in your brain and your body to actually enjoy your food. But if you try to fight it, you're fighting your own body, you're fighting your own nature. And when you actually enjoy it, then it's easier for you to let it go, have a content feeling. And then, like Katie said, you don't crave the other cookie. You don't want not to have 10,000 cookies because you are content. You are listening to your body. You have a relationship with your body, like we talked in our last episode, that is built on trust. And you can actually move on into more important things. So this is really a unique aspect of the program that I love. And me and Katie, right? We practice that not just with food. We practice it with everything.
Yeah, I was about to say some of our clients right now who are working on the pleasure principle and doing the training exercises that we give in our program, they, while it's with food, they're now expanding that outward with movement, exercise. So whereas just like a lot of our clients have lived a lot of their lives by these food rules and I eat according to how many calories, not what actually feels good for me. I eat according to the portion size rather than what the portion that actually feels good in my stomach right now. So they're going more by rules and ideas rather than actual feeling, where they're so disconnected from their bodies that their head is making all the food decisions and their body gets no say. And now they're starting to apply the pleasure principle to movement, where now it's not about, let's say, for going on a walk, it's not about how long you walked, it's not about the distance, it's not about the amount of time you walked, but instead it's about what actually felt good for you that day. Because I know for me, and I'm someone who does take walks every day, that on some days I could walk for hours even. I could take a nice long 2-hour walk and it feels really good for me. Whereas other days, depending on maybe my sleep or my stress or just how I'm feeling or my own immunity or how my joints feel that day, that either a shorter walk will feel appropriate or a longer one. And so now I'm basing it not on, oh, well, yesterday I walked a mile, so today I need to walk a mile or more, which is how a lot of us operate, right? Oh, yesterday I did a mile, so today I need to at least do a mile. Instead of doing that, we can start to work with the frame of our own bodies. And when we do that, we become much more satisfied and much healthier because now our choices are governed not by some ideas that our mind have of what we should do, but what our body's actually asking for. And this is ultimately a really important life practice. Like Shahar said, it's not just about the food. Of course, that's our main topic here, but it's also can be applied to truly anything. And I'll just share, I had one other little comment on eating as a form of numbing or eating as, or binging as pleasure when it's not really pleasure, because otherwise, if we were only getting pleasure from it, we would certainly not be trying to stop. So what I noticed for myself when I was in my binge eating patterns and habits, oh, by the way, Shahar, we got a nice comment. Someone just said, hello, love your podcast and what you do. Thank you so much. So thank you. I don't see your name, but I'll see when we log off here. Thank you for the kind words. So one thing I noticed when I was in the throes of binge eating was that the binges came to satisfy something, right? Like you said, they're coming here to satisfy something. They're not the tools that we actually need, but they're the tools that we have, right? It's what's in the shed, and there's not much in the shed. So we just reach for that, but it's not really satisfying. And one thing that I discovered that kind of aligns with that idea is a lot of times The binges, and we talk about this in other episodes, the binge urges come, because we restricted ourselves so much. We told ourselves, you can't eat this, you can't eat that, you can only have one of these, you can't have more than two of these. We put so many rules on ourselves that now what we start to crave is freedom, right? When we have a lot of rules, we crave the opposite. We crave freedom, right? Just like a rebellious teenager. That's a pretty normal thing to happen, right? So the binge, it represents that freedom, because it's the tossing aside of all of the rules. The problem is it's not real freedom. And that's the real reason we're not satisfied in the end, is because we don't actually feel free when we binge. It's a rebellion against all those restrictions we put on ourselves. And in that sense, it feels freeing. But because we don't actually want to be binging, ultimately we are not free. When we do it, we're acting out of compulsion. We're acting out of rebellion. It's not true freedom. And a lot of times when we binge, we're trying to fill needs that we're not allowing ourselves. Freedom, pleasure, right? We tell ourselves that we put ourselves on these diets or things where we deprive ourselves of any kind of pleasure at all. And then all we crave is pleasure, but because we don't know how to truly give ourselves pleasure, we just binge on all of the most decadent foods that we like. And then we're not really getting pleasure out of that because we're sick. We make ourselves sick from it, and we feel ashamed and we feel guilty. The last thing we're actually feeling is pleasure. We're mostly feeling guilt, shame, and discomfort. So ultimately, we're going to keep craving pleasure. We're going to keep craving freedom, even if we keep binging, because the binging is not ultimately satisfying either of those things. Like the woman who ate the cookie but wasn't truly present for it, she'll keep craving cookies as long as she doesn't let herself actually taste it and have the real life experience of it. So if we don't give ourselves the real freedom, if we don't give ourselves the real pleasure, we will keep craving we'll keep craving those things, but giving ourselves false versions of that, that won't really satisfy that. So then we'll only crave it more. So this is where the pleasure principle comes in, and where the whole rewired eating framework comes in, where we learn to take that pause to give ourselves genuine calm, genuine peace in that moment. Then we're in a position where I can actually receive, what are my body signals right now? What actually would feel good right now? From a real place, not just from what my mind thinks, but from what my body's perspective. Then from that point, I can respond. I can say, okay, this is what's going to bring you comfort. Fabulous. Let me give you that so I can actually feel comfort right now. And then we repeat this process again and again. And now suddenly we're no longer people who are numbing ourselves and depriving ourselves of any pleasure. Instead, we're giving ourselves exactly what we need in that moment. So cravings don't even come up so much in the first place, because our true needs are met. Does that make sense? This is the process that we're taking our clients through. This is the process that we believe is helpful for anyone who struggles with binge eating, because as long as you are ignoring the deeper needs, you will keep craving. And as long as we keep craving, it's uncomfortable, then we keep numbing. And that's the cycle. So in order to exit the cycle, we learn to listen to our bodies, practice giving ourselves what we need in that moment, pleasure, comfort, rest, whatever it is. And then the more we do that, the less we crave and the less we rely on these tools like binging that don't actually help. That's how the binges gradually fall away over time. It's not something like our clients, we don't see them going, okay, well, starting today, I'm going 60 days without binging. We don't do it like that. We don't have to do it like that. We teach people how to listen to their bodies. And then what happens is the more they do that, the more they naturally don't binge so much. And then we'll say, oh, when was the last time you binge? And they'll say, actually, I don't remember. They won't say, oh, well, it was March 1st and I remember that binge. And no, it's just something that falls away. It's not even part of your consciousness anymore. That's how it happens over time. And it doesn't have to take a lot of time. The faster you learn to listen to your body and to satisfy your own needs in a real way, give yourself real pleasure, give yourself real rest, real comfort, real enjoyment, the less you crave it in these other area. So that's one of the ways that people transition out of binge eating very peacefully without a lot of mental battle, like Shahar was saying in the beginning, how we fight ourselves. With this way, there is no fighting. We're actually working with ourselves instead of against ourselves. Anything you wanted to say, Shahar, before we conclude today?
No, I think that was a beautifully put. And like I said, I want to encourage everybody to, you can always just practice that just with a little bit of breathing and just, and next time you find yourself either binging or overeating or anything of the sort, like someone in the comments said, I think Rhonda, she wrote, it takes a lot of time to think about what you want, put on the grocery list, buy it, make it, eat, and feel guilty about it. So next time when that happens, when you sit down to eat it, keep that pleasure principle in mind, right? Play with it. See how it makes a difference in your body's reaction to it, right? And of course, reach out if you want to work with us to get that and to finally have that food freedom. And if you need help, and we can guide you through that. Definitely worth to get your life back with us, with food freedom for sure.
Yeah. If you're somebody who's ready to leave your food issues behind and you feel you've had enough and you're not willing to go through this cycle of binging and restricting and the roller coaster anymore, that our programs that we've created are for you and are designed to help you methodically, systematically, predictably take yourself out of this cycle, but not in such a way where you're fighting yourself and mustering up willpower every 5 seconds. It's more about you learning to be a team with your own body. And we give you the skills and the practical daily exercises to build that back up for yourself. Everybody has it, but sometimes it's dormant because we've been in our diet world for so long or our food rules for so long that we forget. But everyone has that connection to their body. It's just about learning how to reactivate it. And we found that everybody, even if you've been struggling for 50 years, we found that this can be reactivated. So feel free over the next month and a half, especially since we won't be showing up for the podcast until mid-May again for the new season. Feel free to check out our programs. You can go to katiepapo.com, see what programs we offer. And our 30-day program, Path to Food Freedom, is the one that will give you all of the tools, every single step that you need for a lifetime of food freedom. You just show up, follow the structure, follow the steps. If you want to add coaching to that and have us in your pocket as you go, you have that option too. So I'll thank you, Shahar, for coming today and for being here with us on this episode.
It's my pleasure, as always. I like being here. I have plenty to say.
I know. I appreciate you. So we'll see you guys on the next season. So I look forward to seeing you mid-May. And in the meantime, feel free to join my email list, listen to replays of past episodes. We have so many at this point. And feel free to check out our programs if you're someone who just wants to get this done. You want to learn what you need to know to fix this properly, to be done with food issues for good. And you can go to katiepapo.com to learn more. So I'll see you guys soon. See you in the next season and take care. Bye.
Thank you for listening. If you found this episode helpful, please subscribe, follow, or leave a kind review. If you're ready to get down to business and work with me to end your food issues permanently, please reach out or go to katiepapo.com for more info. Be kind to yourself, and I hope to see you for the next episode.